Hello and welcome to another episode of the Running Tales podcast. I'm Craig Lewis and this week we're coming all the way from Split in Croatia, or if I'm being completely honest, the island of Brac, just off the Dalmatian coast. Yes, as I look out over the Adriatic, it's time for something a little bit different this week. I'm going to be telling you the story of Franjo Mihalic, one of Croatia's greatest ever runners. Although Mihalic himself spent much of his career in Zagreb and Belgrade, both part of the old Yugoslavia during the height of his running career in the late 1940s, 50s and 60s, he would doubtless have enjoyed Split's many running offerings. The Riva Boardwalk, which passes Split's beautiful old town and its attractive waterfront, is the starting point of many a Croatian runner's journey. Elsewhere, one of the best places to run in Split is along the scenic pedestrian pass in the Majan Forest Park, including a formidable sounding up to 800 stairs, which leads to some fantastic sounding views. While trail runners should head to the Kozjak and Mosor Mountains, which are around half an hour away. That said, I wouldn't be being remotely honest if I suggested that Michelle and I have spent our time in Croatia frequenting these much-to-be-desired running routes. Instead, with the Great North Run on the horizon, we've been taking tapering to next levels. That's involved enjoying plenty of the pasta and pizza favoured in an area heavily influenced by Italy, just across the sea. We're obviously labelling this culinary excess as carb-loading. We've been enjoying the sights and sounds of both Split's old town and the array of beautiful islands which dot the Adriatic off the city's coastline. Dating back some 1700 years, the old town in Split is best known for the ancient Diocletian's Palace, which dates back to 305 AD. It was built by the Roman Emperor Diocletian, who intended to use it for his requirement. I reckon it beats Cleethorpes, eh? Saying that, Diocletian didn't have a happy retirement, as his tetrarchy system, which saw the Roman Empire divided between two emperors, and is possibly pronounced completely differently from that, failed entirely. It's widely believed his death in 312 AD was actually suicide. Many of the buildings of his palace survive, though, and in recent years the old town was used in the filming of Game of Thrones. The importance of Diocletian's palace far transcends local significance. That's because it really does have an extraordinary preservation, and the buildings of succeeding historical periods are built within its walls. And also because the city and its palace continue to live a really full life of their own. People are still housed in the old town, right next to the ancient buildings and monuments. Just imagine if Scots still lived in Edinburgh Castle. That would give you just a vague idea of what it's like. If the old town itself is stunning, the array of islands within a ferry or speedboat of Split are simply stunning themselves. Our home this week has been Supetar on the island of Brac, home to a host of restaurants, stalls selling gifts honed from Croatian marble, and a welcoming pebble beach. Brac is also home to Bol, a small town which boasts the famed Zlatan Rat beach, best known as one of the most spectacular in the world for its crystal clear sea that goes from turquoise blue to dark blue in just 10 to 20 metres. It's a sea which transfixes you as you travel all the way around the Adriatic, the dark blue waters capturing part of your soul as you bump over the water on your way to whichever islands, cave or cove is your next destination. Michelle and I have enjoyed the delights of the Blue Cave, where the sunlight creeps through a small opening at the top of the cave to reflect off white seabed and fill the whole opening with a mesmerising blue hue. We've also been swimming everywhere from the crystal blue waters of the Blue Lagoon to the dark ones of the Monk Seal Cave, where one of those rare creatures once found itself some sanctuary. And we marched up to a fortress on the rich and sun-drenched island of Var. Now, I don't know how all of this will work as preparation for one of the world's most famous half marathons, but I guess we'll just have to find out in a few days. Anyway, that's more than enough from the Split Tourist Board. Seriously, if you get a chance to go there, just do it. After all, anyway, this is the Running Tales podcast, and I'm here to talk about the phenomenal career of Franjo Mihalic. Mihalic was a Yugoslav and Croatian long-distance runner, who's best known for his 1958 win at the Boston Marathon, and for a silver medal performance at the 1956 Olympics. Those successes were the pinnacle of a career which saw him compete across marathon and cross-country races. breaking a combined 25 Croatian and later Yugoslavian national records in long-distance track events between 5,000 metres and 25 kilometres. But his career actually started as a cyclist, one rather prone to injury, and as a footballer. He was born back in 1920 in Kutina, Croatia, and was the 10th of 12 children, eventually moving to Zagreb when he was just 3 years old. By 16, he was working as a printing house apprentice, using his first wages to join a bicycle club and then joining the Olympic Cycling Club. Mihalic even achieved a number of top 10 finishes in national cycling races over the next few years, but he also suffered a number of serious falls and injuries. It was then, both fortuitously and seemingly in a way that was meant to be, that he found his way into the world of running. In 1940, one of the events in the Workers' Sports Games in Zagreb was a cross-country race, and, with no other obvious entrants available, Mihalic was nominated by his football club, because he was their fastest player. Even though he hadn't run in the competitive event before, he finished second out of 200 entrants, and soon after that he joined the Concordia Zagreb Athletics Club. Only a few months later, the naturally talented Mihalic set his first national record in the 5,000 metres, and that was followed shortly after by another in the 10,000. Following the outbreak of the Second World War, he represented the independent state of Croatia, winning several international competitions, setting five national records, and even being named Croatian Sportsman of the Year three times in the process. Because of this newfound status as a leading athlete, he avoided being drafted in the war effort. Of course, not everyone was so lucky. His first athletics coach, Milko Dobrin, was a Jew and was forced to wear the Star of David, barred from attending all competitions. Later, Dobrin managed to escape to Venezuela, avoiding the hideous fate of so many of his fellow Jews. After the end of the war, Mihalic was transferred to Belgrade by the new communist Yugoslav authorities, and international running success swiftly followed. In 1951, he won the 10,000 metres at the Mediterranean Games in Alexandria. He finished 18th in the same event at the following year's Olympics in Helsinki. Victory then followed in Paris at the International Cross Country Championships, and in 1957, he won the Athens and Moscow Marathons. Not bad for a guy who was just falling off a bike only a few years earlier. Those victories came after what Mihalic himself described as his greatest sporting achievement at the 1956 Olympics in Melbourne, Australia, where he took silver in the marathon. He'd come to the Games on the back of a stunning, if somewhat flawed, time in the Balkan Games marathon. By winning that event, Mihalic posted a time of 2 hours, 16 minutes and 25 seconds. Now that would have been the fastest marathon race ever, if the course had not been found to be too short. His Olympic experience almost went south when he fell at a refreshment table, bruising his arms and his legs. But perhaps empowered by those early cycling falls, he got to his feet and rejoined the leading pack, eventually coming home in 2 hours and 26 minutes, behind only the winner, Alain Mimon of France. Mihalic's other career highlights came at the 1958 Boston Marathon, where he beat the defending champion John J. Kelly to come home in a winning time of 2 hours 25, just 5 minutes short of Kelly's course record established the previous year, but incredibly impressive given a race that year was held in extremely hot conditions. Another Olympic appearance, where he came 12th in the marathon in Rome in 1960, followed, before he eventually retired from top-level running in 1966. But that wasn't it for Mihalic. A successful post-professional career followed, and saw him participating in 10-kilometre runs until he was in his late 70s. A knee injury sadly put paid to his running on doctor's orders, but he still managed to switch to race walking, where he captured 3 gold medals in the 5-kilometre event at the Veteran Balkan Games. Talk about having running in your blood. Mihalic eventually died in February 2015 at the ripe old age of 94, but not before conducting an interview in December 2020, where he spoke about missing out on some of the commercial benefits of being a modern marathoner. This is his quote. "I regret a bit for having been born too early. When I won the world's oldest marathon in Boston in 1958, all I got was a gold medal. Today, the winner gets $100,000 and an automobile. If I'd won it two times, that would have been enough. Yes, I regret a bit for not being 25 today. As I stare out now over the country of his birth, I can't help thinking that there was not much else that Franjo Mihailić regretted in what was an incredible running career. I hope you enjoyed his story today, and thanks for joining me for what was a somewhat different running tale. As ever, we'd love it if you could give us a positive review or rating wherever you listen to us, and we'd love it even more if you could join us next week for another episode of the podcast, probably coming from rather more ordinary surroundings in Northampton. Right, Michelle, could you pass me that beer, please?